glad to be here this morning and be able to speak to y'all. It's got a good crowd, and hope we get a lot from my lesson this morning. And the lesson I entitled this morning is The Value of the Dollar. A lot of things go wrong that we think, everybody thinks that we can buy. Everything is not bought. And finally, if you first Peter, the first chapter, 18 through 19, it tells us here about redemption. It tells us that we can't buy redemption. So if you'll turn to 1 Peter 1, 18 to 19, we'll read them verses. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed but with corruptible things, or silver and gold, from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So we see what we have to have redemption. You cannot buy redemption. No matter what kind of money you got, how rich you are, you got to be rich so of God. You got to have the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus will give you redemption. You got to have the blood of Jesus to get to God. You have to go through Jesus to make it to your Father. We'll always find out you keep the Holy Spirit. If you'll turn to Acts the 8th chapter, the 20th verse. Acts the 8th chapter, the 20th verse, it tells us about we can't buy the Holy Spirit. It said in the 8th chapter, 20th verse, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. So it tells us in Acts that heaven cannot be bought, cannot be purchased with money. We have to have Jesus in our lives. We find that we can, and I want you to turn to Revelations, if you will. It tells us here about Christ's good favors. It's going to be Revelation, the 3rd chapter, 15 through 18. He said, I know thy work, what thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold nor hot, so you because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I would spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with good and have need of nothing, and knowest that thou art wicked and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You know, in the Bible we see where they think that they were rich. They were rich. And what he said, he's going to spew them out of his mouth because they looked warm. They didn't think they needed Jesus. They thought they had it good enough. In 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, the 7th verse, we all have heard this saying before in our life, but this is in 1 Timothy 6, 7. He said, we brought nothing into this world, and it's for certain we cannot carry nothing out. We brought nothing into this world, and we will not take anything out with us. When we die, we're going to die without the money. I've had a man that saw me, or I used to work down there, and he had a lot of money. He got cancer. He got that cancer that he couldn't be healed. Same kind of Justin had, Justin Springer. He had plenty of money. He went to all the doctors you could go to. And all the money and all the doctors, they couldn't save him. It don't matter sometimes how much money we got. When it's our time to go, it's our time. So we got to be ready at all times just to meet our Maker and meet our Creator. We find that it couldn't buy peace of mind. We won't turn to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. We're going to read 3 through 5. It tells about Judas when he was betraying Christ. It's Matthew, the 27th chapter, 3 through 5. When Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed at the innocent blood. And they say, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the piece of the silver into the temple and departed and went and hung himself. Now you see how bad Judas felt. He turned in to his Savior. He turned Christ in for 30 pieces of silver. He betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. He couldn't handle it. Judas went out and hung himself. He was so sorry about it. He went out, he couldn't take it no more. We find in the Bible that people back in them days, some of them had plenty, plenty of money. We're going to look in Ecclesiastes, 2nd chapter, 3 through 11. It's going to tell about a man that had plenty of money, plenty of gold. We're going to find in Ecclesiastes, 2nd chapter, 3 through 11. I sought in my heart to give myself into wine, yet acquainted my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly till I might see that was that good for the Son of Man, which they should be under the heaven all the day of their lives. I made me great work. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them, all kind of fruit. I made me pools of water, to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle among all that was in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and with the pearly treasure of the king and the province, I begat me men singer and women singer, and they delighted in Son of Man, and musical instruments that were of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than I was before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from all joy, but my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all my works, and my hand had that my hand had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexed of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. See, all the stuff he had trees, he built lakes to water his trees, he had women and men singers, he had anything he wanted, but at the end he found out he had nothing, he didn't have God wasn't blessing him. You know, we find in the Bible in Acts the 2nd chapter, if you'll turn there, he healed a cripple. You know, we can't heal cripples with it. We can't do that with money. In Acts the 3rd chapter, we're going to read 3 through 6. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have quiver, such as I have given, I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. Acts 3:6. We find in Luke, if you turn to Luke, the 8th chapter, bear with me. 43 through 48. This is where the lady was stricken, and she touched Jesus. That's it, read it. And a woman having issues of blood, 12 years, which was spent all her living upon physical physicians, neither could be healed of any. Came behind him, this is Jesus walking, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately she would issue her issue of blood stand. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" He wanted to know who touched me. He felt it. When all denied, Peter and they all were with him and said, "Master, the multitude from being pressed thee, saying, Thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me. For I perceive the virtue is gone out of me." He felt that power gone out of him. And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling and fall down before him and declared to him for all the people that called she had touched him, and now she was healed immediately. She fell down and she said, I'm the one to touched you. And when he said unto her, "Daughter of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." He didn't punish her for touching her. But he knew somebody had touched her, so she knew that she had to tell him that it was her. But she was, as soon as she touched Jesus' garment, she was healed. Nobody else could heal her. No money, no physician, no doctors, no nobody could heal her. But you find out that Jesus can heal. And Jesus can heal us. Jesus can heal us from anything we got going on today. Sometimes we don't trust him. We don't put the faith in what we need to put our faith in. You know, money can't buy love and respect. You know, you think you love by people. You think you respect it by people. But when the money play out, the respect and the love fall. But you gotta earn love. You gotta earn respect. We're seeing that all this was what money couldn't buy. Now we're going to look at some what money can do. You know, we read in the Bible that in Matthew, the 26th chapter, we're reading about this again with Judas. They bribe Judas. It will bribe people. Money will bribe people. And it said in Matthew 26, chapter 16, verse, it said unto them, What will you give me? And I will answer, I will deliver him unto you. And they covered with him for 30, they convinced him for 30 pieces of silver. See, he made a deal to bring Jesus, to turn Jesus in, to watch him die, to turn him in. For 30 pieces of silver, and we've done read what he done with. He felt ashamed. It was too late. He tried to give it back. But it was too late. He threw it on the ground. He said, "I don't want it." And he went and hung himself. You know, we read in Matthew, the 28th chapter, the 12th verse. And when they were assembled with the elders, and while taking counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. They found out they paid it, whatever they had to pay to get Jesus, to get him crucified. We find that it was terrible. But we know that he had to go through what he went through. If he didn't get crucified on the cross, we would have no hope of eternal life. We would have no hope for nothing, because everything we do got to go through Jesus. You know, talking about friends, it says that in Bible. Let's read Proverbs, the 19th chapter. Let's read the 4th verse. It said, wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Y'all realize, we realize that when you got money, you somewhere or another, you come into some money. Seems like you got friends coming out the woodwork. You got people calling. You got people saying, look, I'm into you. I need help. Oh, they love you. You can't, that phone just ringing off the hook. But when that money run out, where your friend is, where your true friends are, your friend will be there when you got money or you don't have any. You know, I have faced that. When I was a judge, oh, they called me day and night. Now they don't, nobody call me. If somebody called me, it's going to be my brother or my sister or somebody kin to me. But they used to call just my phone was hot and heavy. Because they thought they were going to get something out of it. We're going to read in, money will help feed the hungry. We're going to read in Acts, the 2nd chapter, the 45th verse. It said, they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They fed the hungry. They parted their money. They parted their goods and they gave it. We need to learn to give. We need to learn to do the right thing. You know, they tell us that we need to support the gospel. And it's reading Philippians, the 4th chapter. Philippians, the 4th chapter. Philippians 4:15-17. Now ye Philippians know also that the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, did no church complicated with me, and concern giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonians sent once against any of my nephews, for because I desired a gift, but I desired fruit that may abound to your account. But we need to learn to support the gospel. We got a meeting coming up. We need to learn to support it. What can we do? They ask sometimes, what can we do? What can we do to help? I'm not a preacher. I don't have a lot of money. What can we do? You can go and invite people to this meeting. We're going to read one more part. It's a little lengthy, and y'all all heard it, but it tells about a rich person and what you made if we worry more about money. In Luke, the 16th chapter, if you turn there with me. Luke, the 16th chapter, the 19th verse. And we're going to read through the 31st. We're going to read the rest of that chapter. And a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fair substance each day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full sore, and desiring to be fed with the crumb that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dog came and licked his sore. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. And a rich man also died and was buried. And in hell Now listen to what the rich man did. And in hell he lifted his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue. I am in torment with this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in your lifetime receivedest the good thing, and likewise Lazarus the evil thing. But now he is comforted, and thou are tormented. And besides all thee, between us and you is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot live, can they pass to us that would come from hence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, he may testify unto them, that they may not also come to this place. Abraham said unto him, that they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, for if one went them from the dead, then they would repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophet, neither would they be persuaded that one rose from the dead. We don't want to wind up like the rich man. We don't want to wind up in hell wishing that we would change. Today is the day we need to change. Not tomorrow. Not the next minute. Not any time. We need to change. We need to give our lives to Christ. When we have communion, we should never forsake. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, Forsake not the assembling ourselves together, like manner is, but exhort ourselves. We see the day approaching. We should be excited about having the Lord's Supper. The first day of the week, the Bible tells us that Jesus said, Remember me. Remember me. He didn't say, Remember me when you get time. He said, Remember me on the first day of the week. How many of us are too busy to come and remember Jesus? Is that too hard to do? If he gave his life on that cross, and he tells us he got the bread and the fruit of the vine that represents just his body. Can we put any vacation, can we put any trip, anything ahead of coming and having the Lord's Supper? You know, when they used to speak people, when we met at Cold Frank, they wouldn't give, they usually they had to have Lord's Supper. So they would come and at that time they would have the Lord's Supper ahead of the preaching. Well, they would come and have the Lord's Supper because they knew that was the most important part, then they'd leave. So they changed the thing ahead of that, the preaching. But the main thing you come for is to commune with Jesus Christ. He gave his life on that cross for us. Least that we can do is come and remember him. Don't let nothing stand before you. No God tournament, no bad tournament, no anything stand before you and Jesus Christ. This morning we're gonna commune with him. His body's gonna be here, his blood is gonna be here. We're gonna commune with him. We're gonna do our part too. Because when we die. We're going to look around. We're going to hunt Jesus sin. We're going to want Jesus to go. We have sinned. We all have sinned. We never going to deserve heaven. No matter what you do, how much money you got, or what you've done. Oh, I've done great things in my life. I preached a lot of sermons in my life. I've done a lot of good things in my life. I have spoken about Jesus. It's never going to be a good enough. It's never going to be. Christ said the only way to get to the Father is through me. We've got to go take the blood of Jesus. We've got to have the blood of Jesus. And that day when we die and we stand before God, the day of judgment, we want Jesus to stand with us. If we don't have Jesus, we're going to be a sad day. We're going to be like that rich man. We're going to be a coal man. For eternity. You know how long eternity is? I seen a thing on, it was on Facebook. It had a long, long rope. I don't know how far it went, but it had about that much black spot on it taped up. That was your lifetime. The rest of it was eternity. And that rope went forever and ever and ever. This little part of it was your life that we live in now. Yeah, I shorted our life. I shorted our life. We can't live. All this life, we're going to have eternity life. We need to give it all to God. So at least what we can do. We can't do anything else. We can invite people to our meeting. We got a meeting coming up in September. We have, this year, we have got the multi-purpose building there in Brookhaven. It seats 500 people. I sure hope we get 500 people. Maybe yours and all, or some of the cooks may not want that, but we are, I sure hope we get a good crowd. And the way you get a good crowd is every one of us ask somebody, ask two or three. I've asked most all my people I play golf with. Well, if they come or not, I ask them. Some of them say they'll try. But better or not, ask them. At least they know about it. We're going to set out the literature. A lot of us knows a lot of people. Don't be scared. I asked them, they said, well, we'll try. Well, you know, they may not come, but maybe they will. So, let's just try to do our part to make this meeting a successful meeting. And this morning, we need to remember Christ and what He's done for us, but if we're not in Christ this morning, we need to come and get in Christ. Because we're going to need Him. We have talked about it. You can't get to the Father without going through the Son. You can't get to the Son without being born again in baptism. Hear, repent, confess your sin, confess Jesus Christ, and be buried with Him in baptism. I think most of us here have been baptized, but it gives us another thing. We always offer prayer. I know I need prayer all the time. Never be scared to ask for help. If this morning, if we sing this song, if you need prayer to the church or you need to be born again and be baptized, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing. Won't you come?